So, looking at the issue of halas kutzlar that we talked about last time, I wanted to add a few notes on it. It came up only as an aside. Remember that our core discussion was about the koi and the question of whether you can do kisui hadam for the koi on Yom Tov, and that led to the discussion about the person who shafted on Erev Yom Tov and then wants to do the kisui hadam on Yom Tov, which led to the discussion about Gilgul Isa, where you prepared the dough, or you started to prepare the dough on Erev Yom Tov, and then you want to separate challah on Yom Tov proper. So in the course of this discussion, we had a comment from Rava in trying to resolve what we had said with Avuah de Shmuel. What happened was, Avuah de Shmuel, Shmuel's father, on the second line on Daf Tes, said, Afilu Gilgel Isa me Erev Yom Tov ein mafresh mimena chalasa be Yom Tov. He says, even if you started to prepare the dough on Erev Yom Tov, you are not allowed to separate the challah on a Yom Tov, and the Gemara said, well, does that disagree with Shmuel? After all, Shmuel says, Chalas chutzlar is ocha v'holei v'achakach mafrish, that outside of Eretz Yisrael, and that's the assumption, is that that's the case that we're talking about, you are allowed to leave over some, and that's your way of dealing with the problem. So from the fact that he says that, we assume that therefore Shmuel means to say that that there's no issue of mitaking, there's no issue of fixing when you separate, because you had other ways that you'd be allowed to eat the dough. To which the Gemara answers, Amar Rava Milo Mode Shmuel Shem Kara LeHashem Shasur LeZarim. Doesn't Shmuel agree that fundamentally calling it challah still makes it off limits to non-Kohanim? That was the back and forth between Rava and the Gemara regarding Shmuel and Rava. So the question I want to start us off with, and everything that I'm going to say comes from a couple of simanim in the Kilas Yaakov, basically, as I'll quote. Speaking of someone who served in the army, so he served in the Russian army. So what did Rava mean when he said this statement here, when Rava says that it should still be called mitakein, because when I call this challah, it's now off limits to the Tzar? What exactly does he mean? If you take a look at Rashi, right before the Mishnah, Mila Modi Shmuel, so Rashi says, even though you're right, he doesn't need to actually separate this. Fundamentally, still, if you do identify it as challah, it becomes challah. The asura lizarim and non-kohanim are not allowed to eat it. Alma shem truma ale. So that indicates that it is in fact called truma. V'isa bichlal ein magid magbi in trumos u'maisros b'yom tov. And therefore, when the Gemara says elsewhere, you're not allowed to separate truma and maisa on Yom Tov, doing this hafrasha of challah, granted it wasn't necessary to permit the dough, it's still called an act of hafrasha of challah. What Rashi really seems to be leading me to understand here is that mitaken is not the problem. If mitaken were the problem, then the fact that me calling it challah makes it challah still doesn't make it an act of mitaken. I wasn't mitaken anything. The thing was mitukan already. I could have eaten already. What Rashi is indicating here is that there is some kind of act of tithing that is prohibited, which I am doing by calling this challah, even separate from mitaken. You follow?
Yeah.
That's the idea. So what is this that we're talking about? So the stipler, because Yaakov offers us an explanation. If you take a look on the sheet at the first source, when I first saw this, I thought that the stipler was actually reading the Rambam in a way that disagrees with Rashi, but now I actually think he's just simply explaining Rashi. I think what we're about to see will explain what Rashi is talking about. Take a look at source Aleph, please. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, Ve'ein magbihin trumos umaisros b'Shabbos. Fair enough. No tithing on Shabbos. Mipnei shenira kemitakein davar shalo haya mitukan. It looks like you are fixing something that was not fixed before.
So isn't that the same mystery we were relying on before?
Mm-hmm. Right. This line is simple and straightforward, right? As simple as it gets, anyway. The only thing that's interesting here is that it looks like mitaken. It's not really called mitaken, but that's true in general. In other words, the Gemara never says that tithing equals fixing. It's simply that you are taking something that you couldn't use before, and now you are, and now you are making it usable. Therefore, it is like fixing.
So, like Myra Sadian?
No. But call it a tolda, if you like. Yeah, it's a descending form of it. It's not truly fixing. Fixing normally involves taking something that was defective in some way. This wasn't defective.
Let's say a table, for example, is this the same category? Rambam holds the same way. If you have a non-tovel table.
So, toveling the kli is part of this discussion also, correct. But now take a look at Beis, because Beis is where we get into trouble. This is just five halachos later in the Rambam. Ain done in b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to judge cases on Shabbos. Right, I'll discuss it, lest you write down the results. Velo cholsin, velo miyavmin, velo mekanshin, and you also are not allowed to do chalitza. You're also not allowed to do yibum. You're also not allowed to do kiddushin. All these are gezeres shema yichtov, lest you write. Vein makdishin, you can't dedicate things to the Beis Hamikdash. Vein ma'arichin, dedicating the erech value. Remember, the Torah gives based on gender and age. Velo machrimin, you may not declare property cherim either. Mibnei, people you may, just not property. Mibnei shu kemekachu memkar, because that's like commerce, which is prohibited under also, lest you write. Vein magvihin trumos umaisros. And then, the Rambam seems to forget he dealt with this five halachas earlier. You also may not separate truma and maiser. Why? Shezed dome lemaktish osan peros shehifrish. Because it is as though you were dedicating that which you tithed. It's not truly hakdasha, but it's like hakdasha. And also it's like mitake. So the question is, what happened? Clearly the Rambam didn't forget what he had in Aleph. That we understand. The Rambam saw fit to include this here. Why is this here? Why is this in Perek Chav Gimel Halacha Yad Dalet? That part is relatively straightforward to answer. Why is this here?
Well, in the first place, he doesn't insinuate there is a deraisa, really. In the second place, there's the Shema Yichtov.
Well, except Metakin is itself a function of that. But the Metakin is under Makeh B'Patish, which
he's
is now right.
He's adding another reason, effectively.
He's adding another reason, but he's putting it here in Yudalit, because in Yudalit he talked about Hakdasha.
Right.
In other words, Tess, he's dealing with Matake. Yudalit, he's really dealing with Hakdasha, and once he's mentioned, don't do this because of Hakdasha, so I'll throw in the other factor that he's mentioned, the issue of Matake. But it's really one in one context, one in the other context.
But why does he need Tess? In other words, why can't he just have it in Yudalit?
So, you know what? I just realized, what I just said, I'm parroting the Magid Mishnah. So let's see Gimel. He's going to say it. You won't accept him either, but at least it'll be the Magid Mishnah instead of me.
The first part of it is all by way of a base stem, basically. And this the last part of it is that nothing to do with a base stem.
Well, true, but the rationale is a similar rationale. They're both writing issues.
Yeah, but it gives me more question in terms of why it's here, which deals with basically public type of events as opposed to...
But only the first part of a list is public-based in stuff. The Makdish and Marich and Machrim, and you can do in the privacy of your own home.
Is the concern of the first Rambam that if something is near a Misakin, that it will lead to actually doing Misakin? Because near a Misakin is not the same as Misakin.
No, it's more like Tolda. It's not a Derabana. I think it's a Deraisa.
It's a Deraisa.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. I believe so.
Because we're stuck with Rashi's lessons, the near Kamitake is not. You know,
right, but Rashi's getting it from the Gemara. It's not.
But Rambam, when he says near Kamitake, and he's saying it's like you were saying, like a derisa, right? A tolda, is that what?
I believe it's toldish, if I remember correctly. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I think so.
Okay.
So the Magid Mishnah offers.
The Rashi seems to be focusing not so much on the first. Rashi seems to be focusing on the Hekdash part, no?
Well, that's exactly what I think he's doing here. I think what the Stegler is pointing us to in these Rambams, as we'll see, is fundamentally a way to understand what Rashi is doing. So the Magid Mishnah says the following: Vein magbi in trumos umaisos shezed doma etc. Kvar nizgar din zelamala. He says, "Hey, I just saw this in Halachates." V'chazer Rabbeinu v'shan okan, but our master went back and learned it again here, taught it again here. Lefishiyesh shtei sibos leisuro, because there fundamentally are two reasons for the prohibition, as he wrote. Now, one is from what we said earlier. That's the issue of literally striking with a hammer. That's what
so
the
target
is under. And then the other,
is
what's written here, which is the issue of writing. Because the Rambam chooses to write based on the order of the Avos Malacha from which they come. And therefore, he put one where he was dealing with writing, and one where he was dealing with Makeh B'Patish. Now, that is his answer to Howie's question. The only question really that remains is, so why did he stick on the words Vod Mipnei Shu Kemitake Nosen B'Shabbos? Why did he need to throw in this Vod Mipnei Shu Kemitake Nosen? He should have been happy saying, I dealt with Mitakin under Mitakin. Nonetheless, that's the Magen Mishnah's understanding, and I think that's yeah, sort of the straightforward approach.
I don't understand the Vod Mipnei Shu Okay, on the second part, when it says Ve'ema being Truma Masra, Shazed Domel and Makdish.
Yeah.
That's still Gzera of Ktiva?
Not Gzera, but it's a
Tolga. It's okay, but that's still a concern. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, it is a Gzera. The whole thing is a Gzera. I shouldn't call it a Tolga, you're right. But it's all part of the Gzera Shema Yichtov. The Gzera Shema Yichtov is don't engage in activities that normally involve writing things down. We usually call that Mecha Humemkar, but the truth is that it's broader than just walking into a store and giving money. It's a whole series of commercial actions, actions that involve change of ownership that people normally record.
Okay. I mean, the Truma Maser, I never thought that people actually record it.
Oh, I would think you would have to. In other words, I've got my produce sitting there in the shed or wherever it is, right, that I brought in from the field. I am very afraid that something's going to get confused with something else, either that we're going to think it was tithe when it wasn't tithe, or the Truma will get mixed in. So, yeah, I think you definitely want to mark things. So, the you being a Kohen don't particularly care, because if they get confused, they'll just hand everything to you, and that'll be that. Mm-hmm. Right. So, the idea of Makdish, the idea that this is actually like Hakadasha, when you separate true and miser, or challah for our purposes, is difficult to sustain, as the Kilas Yaakov points out. There's a Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, that talks about a person who vows by a particular item. Okay, first takes a neder, that such and such an item is asur, that we know to be asur, this item of mine should be like that. So, for example, a person says, his item is going to be like kachay kachin. Okay, so just like kachay kachin or usr, so too this item is going to be usr. That's the idea. So the Gemara there asks, what if a person takes a vow by a particular item which has a mutter element and an usr element? How do I interpret the vow? Could I interpret it as being about the mutter element, in which case the vow is meaningless, the vow didn't do anything? That's the question that they discuss, and the case that they talk about is kechalas aharon ukitrumaso. Okay, so the like the challah of aharon and like his truma. So that's what they're discussing there in the Gemara. The point, right?
Don't need to take challah.
I think they do, but then they get to eat it. I believe they do need to be mafresh. So the Rosh says on that, even though when you're dealing with challah, challah becomes usur when you declare it to be challah, nonetheless, lo havi davar hanadur. The truth of the matter is that this is not something that can be, so to speak, the subject. I don't really mean the word subject, there's a better word for it, but the target, I suppose, of a neder. Daha meikaranami hu asur mishum tevel. Let me rephrase this, because there's a better way to do this. One of the principles is that if I take the vow to say, this item, whatever this item is, I don't want to actually pick up an item, because that'll get me into trouble, but this item should be usur like such and such. If such and such is a davar hanadur, something that itself became usur via a vow, okay, then what I am now talking about will also be usur like that. So that's the issue that we're dealing with. So he says, if you take a vow that your item is going to be like the challah of Aharon and his truma, so he says, challah is not really davar hanadur. It's not something that is vowed. Why? Because he says it was aser beforehand anyway. It was tevel until you called it chala. Upiv lo aser. Your statement didn't make the chala aser. Ele hiter shahotzi ashirai midei tevel. Your declaration saying this is chala means that the rest becomes mutter. Your verbal declaration did not prohibit something. Your verbal declaration permitted the rest. So that's not called davar hanadur. You didn't vow to prohibit this component of the dough. You actually made a declaration that permitted the rest of the dough. You follow?
Right. But your words did not cause something that was otherwise mutter to be usher. Right?
Correct. Just the opposite.
Just the opposite. Yeah. Right.
So the that's the statement that the Rush makes there. Now, where the Kilas Yaakov does is he takes that statement of the Rush and brings it into our conversation and says, if when I separate challah, it's not called making something asur, property of the Beis HaMikdash, it's actually the opposite. You're taking that which was asur and making it mutter.
It's like a matir.
It's like a, yes.
In some ways, right?
Yes. So the question then is, how can you call it makdish? Makdish suggests I am taking something that wasn't Kodesh and I'm making it Kodesh. But now we're looking at Chala differently. We're looking at Chala as taking that which was Asur and making it Mutter.
But that's why you have both reasons. When you take Chala, you're Metaken. So the first step is exactly that. We're taking what is Asur and making it Mutter by removing the Chala. In that exact same action, you're making the Chala Mutter. So that's why you have.
But it was Asur to before you started the process.
But, right, why was the Ran alert to that?
I'm saying in one process, that's why the Ran says he had the two Isurim. Because one is the Metake, and the other is the first process is the Metake, because you are Metake and making the other permissible. The second is that Kala is now Mukta.
The problem is, why doesn't the Rush say that?
I don't know why. I'm saying Ran says it.
Okay. No, but because it's you're right. The Rush is only talking about one of two elements. He's talking about the mutter part, the metakein part. He's not talking about the makdish part. But that means that he doesn't see makdish as part of it. So that's a challenge.
So if that's right, there's never a makdish by challah, because that's how challah operates.
Yeah, that's correct. That's the problem.
I understand.
Now, keep in mind, the Rambam doesn't have to agree with the Rush. There's nothing that binds the Rambam to the words of the Rush. But just, this is, he's building up the problem with saying that Hakdasha is something, and he's going to have to explain where the Rambam got the idea from.
But isn't that small piece Makdish?
Well, he's going to say no. He says it was Kevel before. I mean, I could argue what, you know, along the lines of what you're saying and say, the fact that it was Asur doesn't mean it was Kodesh. Right. There is such a thing as being Makdish something that's Asur to you. You know, you can have such a circumstance. If a person, for example, has an animal, and he took a neder that he's not going to benefit from that animal, he's still allowed, I believe, to dedicate that animal as a korban olah. There's nothing to stop him from being makdish that animal as a korban olah. He's not going to get anything from it. You know, whatever intangibles are not the discussion when you take a nether about Hana anyway.
Because it's mitzvah, love the Hana.
You can give all sorts of explanations for why that's not a problem. So, in other words, what he's saying, I don't think... the question is not really a knock on the Rambam. You can defend the Rambam very easily in this. The question is simply, why did the Rush...
It's harder to
say
the
way he did.
What is the Rush driving at?
But if you take Tevel... Before you separate it, you can't offer that out as a korban.
If you take Tevel...
Before you separate it, Trumas and Masurus, you can't offer that up as a korban.
Well, what korban would it be?
Be part of...
Even like a mechamen?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Can you give Tevel... Can you use Tevel as a korban mincha? That's an interesting question. I mean, you couldn't use it for your chiyuv. If you had a vow to bring a mincha, you couldn't use tevel for that purpose. Because you're giving something that isn't your own to fulfill your obligation. So that wouldn't work. But in general, let's say stop. You wanted to give it. I don't know. I don't know whether you can use tevel as a korban mincha. I can look into it. I don't know the answer to that. the in terms of this,
I think so because the rest of it doesn't belong to you, right? So that's the claim.
But it doesn't have to belong to you. It's carbon milcha. It's not my business.
But you're defrauding some coin of his fair share.
Am I?
Aren't you not? Are you not?
That's exactly the question. Is there going to be a problem with the Kohen eating something that didn't have Truman Meiser separated? Or do we say you gave it to the Beis HaMikdash?
There's a difference. You're not saying something that's min ha-muchar. In other words, anything that you give has to be limud, so to speak.
Yeah.
This has a mud.
What's the mud?
Being tethered.
But that's the question. In other words, let me say it differently. If the Beis HaMikdash owns a field, okay, someone dedicated his field to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no chiyuv on the Beis HaMikdash to separate Trumos and Maestros from what grows there. So the question is, if I have something that incurred an obligation for Truman Meister in my hands, and I dedicate it to the Beis HaMikdash for a mincha, does it lose the obligation for Truman Meister? Because now it's Beis HaMikdash property, and that's what I don't know the answer to.
But there's another issue with the Rosh. The Rosh, what the Rosh is saying is nice, but there's other. You're still going to have to dissect this too, because Tevel is not the same as Hekdash. So in one instance, it has a different reshus. It belongs to
correct.
So let's say he's negligent and it gets ruined.
Right.
So when it's Tevel, what may apply to him is different than after he's mashed
it. That's why I'm perplexed by this Rosh. The Rosh is only trying to explain the Gemara. Don't blame the Rosh. He's trying to explain the Gemara.
But it creates all kinds of other issues, I think.
Yes. It's a very funny formulation. The other piece that the Gilas Yaakov brings in order to show the problem of Hakadasha is from Rashi and Ar Masechta. I brought it here on the sheet just because I wasn't sure if everybody had the full Masechta with them, but you could also take a look at it in your Gemara. But in Source Hay, this is the piece that Rashi is commenting on. Lo magdishin v'lo marichin v'lo machrimin. You're not allowed to do Hakadasha. This is what the Rambam said. Right? You're not allowed to do Akdasha, you're not allowed to do Erechin, you're not allowed to do Cherem. Gezer Mishum Mekahu Memkar, because of commerce / writing. Right? That's the Gemara. So Rashi there says, Mishum Mekahu Memkar, Dele Mekahu Memkar Damu, because they are like commerce, Shemotzi Merishuso, Lirishus Hekdesh, in that you transfer an item from your property into the property of the Beis HaMikdash, right? It's going from your property into the property of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the way Rashi looks at this as saying Hakdasha is like a sale. So the Kilas Yaakov asks on this idea that tithing something isn't the same as this Hakdasha. When you do Hakdasha, right? When you dedicate something to the Beis HaMikdash, you take your item and you say, now it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. It's now theirs. Anyone with access to Hekdash can walk into my house, take the item, and go. That's not true for separating Challah or Truma and Meiser. When you separate Challah or Truma and Meiser, that doesn't mean that any particular Kohen can come along and take it. It means that it's supposed to go to the Kohanim as a whole, but I have the option of choosing my favorite Kohen and saying, that's the one who's going to get this.
It's still my Rishus, is that what he's
saying? Yeah, it's mine. So it's not like Hakdasha.
But it is yours, but it isn't yours.
Correct.
In a sense that it's...
But it's my decision who I dispose of it.
But it's not... Is that how you define Rishus? That I have control over the thing?
Well, that's one of the key definitions of Rishus. Like if you think of like Chametz on Pesach and Shalom Rishuso, right? If I have control over it, then it's mine.
If what we're concerned about is Siva, does it mean, is Rashi implying also that it, in order to be concerned about something that might be to Siva, it still has to look like a Mekah Kamech or some fashion? I mean, if it's Siva, then independently I might be concerned about Siva. Why is there a need for Rashi to say, okay, you know what, this is no different than a Mekah Kamech, it looks like it's left Rishus. The whole concern was it would lead to Siva. So if I need to do Ksiva in order to keep track of what is and what isn't, then that I don't need to have a Rishus. Rishus shouldn't be part of it. Or is he adding some other qualification? In other words, in order to be worried about Ksiva, it still has to look like a Mekah. It still has to have component of a Mekah Homemkar too.
Right. So the answer has to be that it's because it has some kind of component of Mekah Homemkar. But the answer, I think, why Rashi needs to say that is because the Gemara there said Mishum Mekah Homemkar, didn't say Mishum Kosev. In other words, if the answer was this doesn't look anything like commerce, it's just a concern for writing, then the language in source hey should have been Xeramishum Kosef.
But is there something inherently, is there an inherent, I don't call it malacha, but is there an inherent malacha of changing the status of ownership of something from one person to another?
Like, no. No. In the end, no, you can. The only issue is the problem of Kosef. But the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara said Mekachumemkar, which leads to Kosef. So Rashi needs to explain why we use the terminology of Mekachumemkar when we could have just said Kosef. And his answer is because it fits, because you're transferring.
When the rabbi says the Bar Mitzvah boy,
right, Matana, right.
Looks at so what's the issue in Matana on Shabbos?
Again,
Ksiva.
Ksiva. Yeah.
So is there.
Like a deed of gift would have been written, I guess, ultimately.
Is Mecha Kamenkar enough Malachar told
them? No, it's nothing. It's their Bar Mitzvah. Yeah, it's always very funny that when you talk to people who don't know anything about Shabbos, right, and they'll tell you, like, you know, my father kept Shabbos at least to the fact that he didn't go to work, right? He wouldn't do his business on Shabbos. They're thinking in terms of business. They're not thinking about writing things down. They're thinking that business is the definition of what you don't do. Now, there's a reason for that. Yeshaya did that, right? When Yeshaya said himself, and so on, it imprinted on the minds of people in a way that was conveyed generation to generation that business is what you don't do. You know, had he picked on Tofer, then stitching would have been what you don't do. All the tailors. But that's not what he did. But yes, it's fundamentally the Rabbanim, which is why you have kulos.
The guy going to work, if they were smart enough, big Talmidei Chacham, they would figure out how to only be over Rabbanim, where the Amarasim, the state Homa Shabbos, were writing.
Well, the answer is that they were using their computer to type up instead of writing it.
A modern version of that, we use. At a conference, and that conference happens to take place over Shabbos, and there's a lecture.
There are all sorts of discussions about that. I gave a shiur on this a few years ago. It was a nightmare shiur. There's a lot on it. But but in terms of this issue,
Moshe says in the Shiloh, somebody giving if you're a medical an intern, right, and you know, somebody else's girl rotation, right?
Yeah.
One of the things he says, it's better the guy, you can do it because the guy in the hospital will have many less.
That's part of the discussion, right? Right. He'll be doing fewer surgery.
Right.
Correct. So you talk about trading call.
A little trading call. Yeah.
So the idea of makdish is difficult to apply when you're dealing with challah. The Hillel Yaakov says the Rambam got the idea from our Gemara. That's where he actually got this idea. Because, he writes, if you look at source Zion, he says, Rava's answer for Shmuel, right? When the Gemara pointed out that actually if you can leave stuff over at the end and that's the way you're doing your challah, then you're not being mitakin when you do this. So Rava said, that's true, but you're giving it an identity as challah. So he says, Ma bekapsha asur lazarim. Who cares? So you gave it the name challah, now zarim can't eat it. Mikomako metakin einkan. He says, you're still not fixing it. That's Hillel Yaakov in source Zion. Achein, however, ledivrei harambam zal hanal misbar bepshitus. He says, if you work with the Rambam's words, it's explained clearly. The Amakshon Hayasavur She Iser Habas Trumos Umaisros Eino Elamishum Metakin. He says the person who asked the question in the Gemara of it's Shmuel versus Avuah Shmuel, he thought that the only issue in tithing is Metakin, and therefore it's not Metakin because the stuff was mutter even without you doing this. Ubechutzla, it came in the Yachol Lecha Below Afrasha Ein Metakin, since you could do it without separating anything that's not Metakin. That was the questioner's thought. Ba'aha Mishani Rava, and that's what Rava means when he responds. Da'al Kolpanim, Keva Dineseris Lazarim Al Yedei Kriyas Shem, Memela Yesh Bazemitzat Makdish Biyomtov. What Rava is saying is not, it becomes Asur Tezarim, therefore it's Metakin. What he's saying is, it's Asur Tezarim, and therefore it's Makdish, which is a separate problem, not the same as Metakin. So he says the Rambam got the idea that there's Metakin and Makdish from Rava's answer in our Gemara.
I mean, it depends on the situation, right?
What do you mean?
One of the chutzlars and not. No, I'll take it back.
But at the end of the day, Rambam thinks it's both. The second Rambam in Beis, what you're saying about,
yeah,
thinks it's both.
Correct, but that's fine. All you need is one.
Yeah.
Now, the truth of the matter is...
Where does he see that, though? In the,
maybe that's the reason he wants to mention both, because he's pointing out, you might think, because the Havamina was... of Misakin, and the Teretz is that it's not Misakin, it's only Mishum Makdish.
But you know it's Misakin because you already said that back in Halachatas. I didn't need him to repeat that in Yadalit. I already knew that.
Oh, right, because he says it in connection to Makdish from there as well.
Right. Now, he has a whole other note on this, me and Rabbeinu Hanana, but I'm going to skip that because there are a couple of things that I still want to get to within this. The one question he asks is Misakin even an issue if it's Yom Tov? Is Mitakin even a problem on Yom Tov? After all, we let you do Shechita. Why isn't that Eber Menachai? Right? Not Eber Menachai directly. You're taking the animal, which was also as Eber Menachai, and you're Mitakin, and now it's mutter for you to eat. So why isn't Shechita a problem of Mitakin? That's his question. To which...
But hold on, but you can say to what Messiah, every Malach that we say we get out of it because it's Eichel Nefesh.
Right, so that's his answer here, but his answer is, Shechita couldn't be done before Yom Tov. Mm-hmm. Shechita is the equivalent of separating challah from dough that you needed on Yom Tov.
Right.
So just like I'm allowed to separate challah from dough that I needed on Yom Tov, we saw that last week, because you couldn't do it beforehand, so do Shechita, because if you shecht it before Yom Tov through refrigeration, you're not going to have good quality meat. That's his Yaakov's explanation. But he's not done. He points out a Tosfos in Psachim. Take a look at source Ches, please. Ches is the Gemara in Psachim. The Mishnah deals with a classic problem that we will never encounter in our day. Okay? It used to be, there was a time when you baked matzah on Pesach. Forget baking your matzah erev Pesach, which strikes me as risky enough. But you're baking your matzah on Pesach. So the problem becomes, you put together the dough, and then someone is tamei. Now, what are you going to do? How can you separate challah? Your problem is that it's Yom Tov, not Chol Moed. Yom Tov proper. So, if you let the dough sit there and you don't separate, well, if you separate challah, then you have a problem because you've created challah tamei. If you bake the challah, then you are now baking something that's not for eating purposes. Because it's challah tamei, no one's allowed to eat it. So you can't bake it on Yom Tov. But if you leave it, you're creating chametz. So what do you do? So the Mishnah there says, it's source ches.
But one involves doing nothing, because that's a whole separate discussion.
Correct.
Doing nothing.
They have better answers. They have better answers. They don't need to worry about it. Okay. Kesed mafrish challah betume b'yom tov. How do you separate challah if, in fact, your dough is tamei on Yom Tov? Rebbe Eliezer Omer lo tikra l'shem ad shetayafeh. I added the word challah. Rebbe Eliezer says the answer is she shouldn't call it challah until she bakes it. In other words, let her bake the dough. Don't identify anything as challah. You bake the whole thing. Any part of it could be eaten, and therefore you've now baked for ochel nefesh. And then you take a piece of it and say, okay, this is the challah. Or if it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, you can leave it until Chol Hamoed, and you can do that, whatever you want to do. That's the deal. Rashi, I brought you in test, was just to explain the Gemara, but I just explained it outside of it.
But what is Tumah?
What do you mean?
What is it
became Tumah.
So how can you eat it anyways?
You can eat stuff that's Tumah. No. It's only the problem of Challah Tumah. Challah Tumah is going to be us with everybody, because the Kohen can't eat Challah Tumah, and you can't eat it as Challah. So, if you take a look at source Yud, Tosfos has a comment here on this. Don't call it challah until it's baked. So, Omer Ri, the Ri says, Anan sharinon likros lashem kodem afia. The Ri says, in his day, they're still doing this. They're still baking on Yom Tov. So, the Ri says, we permit them to identify the challah even before baking. Afagam te paskin and Rabbi Eliezer, even though we follow Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because if you had a Kohen who was a minor, he'd be allowed to eat this. Kedar paragad kama, as the Gemara Bechoro says, ein trumas chutz laretz asura, el misha tum'a yotza alav migufo. Because chalas chutz laretz is only usher to someone who could be zav, you're talking zav, bal keri dan. V'chein pasak bahan b'seder, pasak b'shem rav Kohen, tzedek reish misivta, fine. V'afilu leka, don't get hung up on the Kohen katan, he's not the point. V'afilu leka Kohen katan, even if you don't have a Kohen who's a minor, i'ika Kohen gadol, which means adult, not Kohen gadol. If there is an adult Kohen, shari, it's still mother. Why? D'chaz yalei al yidei bitul berov. Because you could simply nullify this kala tmeya in a huge mixture, and then it would be okay. Kida amar hasam, as the Gemara says, Rabba mevatel labaro va'achalei b'meitoma. Rabba was mevatel it, and he ate it when he was tamei. Rabba, remember, was a kohen, right, from Beis Eli. So the minor can eat it, but even if I don't have a minor to eat it, when I said before the dough was tamei, we're actually talking about the person who would eat it being tamei. I have to correct that. It's the person being tamei. But Tosfo says that I am able to be mevatel. I am able to nullify the dough in the mixture. So tell me something. Why isn't that a problem with mitake?
What do you mean mevatel the dough?
Meaning, I take the dough that is the challah. Right. We've identified it as challah, right? And we baked it now, and it's right. Baked challah tmeya. Or it's baked challah.
Right.
Right? So what am I going to do? I'll mix it in with a whole bunch of other challah. Right. Well, a whole bunch of other, not challah. Mix it with a whole bunch of dough.
Right.
You know, shear of 1 in 100, whatever I need. Right. And that way, it loses the identity of being challah.
And that's why.
Yeah, why not?
I think you're not supposed to mix it.
Why not?
You have to do it.
Ein mevatlin iser lechatchila, but this isn't an iser. The dough, the challah is fine. I'm the one with the problem.
Mm-hmm. What about a yisro? Why just a coin?
Yeah, is that what he's talking about, or is he mevatel to other challah? In other words, he's mevatel to other challah.
No, he's mevatel with other challah. He doesn't help himself.
Yeah.
He needs to mevatel a challah in normal dough so that a tamei person can eat it.
Yeah.
Except the tamei person he's saying is specifically a kohen.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's mevatel the tamei challah with tahor challah.
No, it's not tamei challah. That's what I corrected. The challah is tahor.
He hasn't done a mistake.
The challah is tahor. The kohen is tamei. It was my mistake when I initially said it.
He's saying it's a dough that's tamei.
Darn, I was right the first time. it's klar, you're right, 100% right. The tame is the dough. Okay, so the dough itself is what is tame.
It sounds like what it is kala tame is being mixed in with kala that is tahor. And he's eating it when the kohen gadol,
then what am I doing with
eating with his tummy?
No, but what am I doing with the kohen who's tummy?
Because he could eat the challah when it's tummy. There's still some aspect of tumah to this, I guess.
Yeah, but Yisrael can do that too. You know what? What do we need a kohen?
Because it's challah.
No, you're right. No, we have Howie is right. We have to be talking about it. And the question is, what's the business of the Kohen Gadol and the issue of Tumah Yotza Alav Migufo? Unless the answer is, you have to look at Bechoros Chav Zayin, but I think the answer would have to be that what we're saying is that Chalas Chutz La'aretz, that is Tameh, is only going to be usher to a Gadol and is not going to be usher to a Katan. And he's just wording it with this Tumah Yotza Alav Migufo, but that's not the point. The point is, Chalas Chutz La'aretz, that is Tameh, being usher to a Gadol, not being usher to a minor, and therefore I want to feed it to him. We then drop the minor out of the picture and say, even if there is no minor around, we're still good with feeding it to an adult Kohen, as long as we will be Mevatel, this Chala that is Tameh, in Chala that is Tahor, or in anything else that is Tahor. I still think you can be Mevatel in anything.
But then why a Kohen?
So make it the Chala that's Tahor, fine. Doesn't bother.
How do you know mezaken has to be something where you look at fixing the item itself, not. In other words, there's a difference between looking at an item and saying, okay, I can't use it now, I can. Then looking at an item and mixing it with something else, and then understanding why it becomes butter. It's not quite the same.
Hold the thought. Good. It's good. It's good. Just hold on to the thought. I just want to make sure we understand our question first. Tosfo says that you could be mevatel, and that's why I'm not up on this Bechoros thing, because I was looking at the last line of this Tosfos. Tosfos, I'm allowed to be mevatel this challah on Yom Tov. Why isn't it a problem of atake? Okay, you understand the question?
Right.
So Shai wants to give an answer and say,
I want to say that misaking means, typically misaking means is, you look at an item, it's either non-functional, the item is non-functional, and you've actually change the status of that item somehow. But by mixing it in with something else, there's a distinction between that and actually...
Because
changing.
Why is there a distinction? You're right, but why?
Because, for example, what have you done if you do that mixing? So you might have made it mutter to yourself, but you might have... for example, with respect to other people, it could be...
You were close.
Hold on. Why is there a distinction?
Take a look at this, Yaakov, and Sozi Aleph. He'll give you the answer. He says, Ve'afshir d'yesh l'chalik, exactly. Ve'afshir d'yesh l'chalik ben hafrashas trumos ma'isos l'bidol isser. He says, you could distinguish between separating trum and ma'iser and canceling, nullifying the isser. The hafrashas trumos ma'isos ka'avid shinui me isser l'heter v'guv ha'chetza. He says, when you separate true and ma'aser, you change the item physically. Not physically changing the physical character of it, but you're actually saying, this was aser, this is now mutter, right? Yeah. By regarding the tamel.
And right,
does that. When you nullified in a mixture, you didn't change the item. Because if you knew where it was in the mixture, you would have to pull it out. Right? If you mixed it in with all this stuff, we said now it's batel. But then somehow you were able to identify where the real stuff was, you would have to take it out of the mixture. It wouldn't be mutter. So it wasn't mitakin.
Right.
So that's not a proof that you're allowed to be mitakin on Yom Tov.
So that's a real chiddush, though. I mean, it's basically mitakin does not apply to anything that you don't change the actual physical nature of the item itself.
Well, again, it's not about changing the physical nature of the item, it's about changing the status of the item.
Okay, status.
I mean, that's an important distinction, but yeah.
Yeah, because being something bottom row could actually undo itself if you were able to identify it later.
Right. One last point on this. We say that it's not, back in the Gemara we said, that if you were to do chalas chutz la'aretz, right, it wouldn't be called mitakin. Why? Because you had an option. Your option was to eat and just leave a little bit over at the end, and that at the end you're going to tithe from, right? That was the idea. Let's actually imagine we're doing this for real, okay? So we're going to take one of these things, okay? Your wife may not be so happy. Here is, right, this thing that I'm now doing my imitation separation from, okay? So it's Yom Tov, so I eat this, and I leave this over at the end, right? This is what I'm leaving over. This is not challah. After Yontif is over, I'm going to take this and separate it and say, this is the challah part, and this is the and this is what they're also to eat, right? So after Yontif, I'm able to eat this because I did this. So now, that means that on Yontif, this was usr, right? If I would have gone with that method. If I do Truman Meiser on Yontif, excuse me, if I do Hafrashas challah on Yontif, even this is going to be mutter.
Right.
So therefore, the Gemara is not correct. The Gemara said that it's not called mitake. I'm not really fixing anything because I could have just as easily eaten and left some over. But that piece that I was going to leave over, I was mitakein, because otherwise, had I gone with that method, it would have been usher to me on Yom Tov. I am mitakein. I'm not mitakein the whole thing, but I'm mitakein that little bit that I would have had to leave over. You follow?
I have two. Why are you mitakin? It still is usher till after Yom Tov.
No, that's what we're saying. We said in the Gemara that if I do tithing, if I separate challah on Yom Tov, it's not called mitakin, because I could have done this other method. But if I had done this other method, this piece would have been usher to me.
Right.
Now that I'm doing hafrasha on Yom Tov, I'm separating this out on Yom Tov, everything is mutter. So it is mitakin. It's not mitakin the whole thing, it's mitakin that small bit.
But you don't know which piece that's going to be, because it's always the... Which piece is it?
Okay, but it's a piece. I ultimately have more to eat this way than I would have had the other way.
Okay, but you don't have the identifiable piece. It's either this piece or that piece, so maybe that's not the same.
Right? Okay, that's an interesting approach. There's another answer.
Okay.
Take a look at that's the fundamental question that the Kilas Yaakov asks. So he offers two answers. His first answer that he gives, he's going to reject. I didn't even bring it here. The first answer that he gives is that you're not really fixing the dough, because chalas chutz la'aretz, there's a tshuva in the Mishnah Yaakov Siman Kuf Mem, in which the questioner asks the Kilas Yaakov a question. And part of his question, he says, is chalas chutz la'aretz really isn't tevel. We discussed last week this whole innovation of Chalas Chutz La'aretz. Why do you have to separate Challah outside of Eretz Yisrael? What was the reason? So you should remember, exactly. Lest people forget. So the questioner argues that Chalas Chutz La'aretz, the dough before you separate Challah, isn't Tevel. It's just that you have an active mitzvah of separate Challah from this dough. That's his argument.
So it's never metaken in some way.
It's not really metaken, exactly. Right. But the Mishnah Tzidkos proves from Rabbeinu Yerucham, quoted in the Shach, which I did not bring here, that it's not so. It is Tevel until you actually separate. You wouldn't be allowed to eat it and say, well, it was just a nice, a nice mitzvah that I should separate Challah. It actually is indeed Tevel. Well, if it's Tevel, then how is it that I'm allowed to do this eating thing and just leave over a little bit at the end for my hafrasha? He says, because the way that works is Breira. It's not saying this isn't Tevel, it's Breira.
Yeah, so kind of like where it's the same idea that I was trying to say. In other words, what Breira means, this piece, is you show
right,
this
what it is.
Right.
But that means that I am fixing. That didn't solve my problem. And my first answer was to say, you're not really fixing the dough because it wasn't Tevel in the first place. But now we're saying, no,
well,
it is Tevel. So now I'm back to square one.
Right.
Except why am I allowed to do this? Why are you telling me it's not Metakin? So because Yaakov says that's not it, take a look at Source Yud Beis. This may be where you were going with it. This is the one line from Michael Yaakov. He says, Kevin shetafsinan she'enu mechadesh tikun ela mevarer. Was that what you were trying to say? He says, since what you're really doing with your hafrasha, when you ultimately do your hafrasha at the end, right, you're designating this part retroactively as having been the Kohen's part all along, so therefore, it wasn't off limits at all. In other words, going back to this chip here that we're using, I hope this is all clear on the audio. The
radio next.
It's your problem, Charlie. Sorry. The deal is this: you have your dough here all together, right? Okay. You have this part that you're leaving over at the end, right? Then we said, if I choose instead of doing this, if I choose to just pull this out as my hafrasha on Yom Tov, that's metaken for this, right? He says, no, this is metukan anyway. Why? Because when Chol Hamoed comes, or post-Yom Tov comes, and you separate this off and say that's it, that's retroactively so. And therefore, this was mutar all along. That's Achilles Yaakov's answer. Was that where you were going? Is that the...
not quite, but I understand what he's saying. Makes perfect sense.
When you're eating, when you're taking on Yom Tov and eating away and leaving the challah, are you able to do it to the point that all that is left at the end of Yom Tov is the challah portion?
No.
Because then you're not fresh. That would be an act of fresh.
Right, then you would have not fresh.
You have to just...
You have to not leave behind...
Good. For next time, looking at the next piece of Gemara, this Mishnah, how many of you were actually there the night that we had that unity night in the Bayan that gave that shir about Mar Zion? Who was there and able to hear? Because it was okay. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to give that shir. You may have been there, but I don't think most people actually got it. So I'm going to do that because we're now up to the Gemara that was a shir.
Right.
So we'll do that.